Welcome to the Shiur in Svarno, Parshas Vayigash. The beginning of Vayigash, as we know, describes the reconciliation between Yosef and his brothers. He reveals to them that he's Yosef. And after very, very emotional exchange between Yosef and his brothers, so Yosef informs, or it is informed to the house of Paro, that the brothers of Yosef have come. And the pasuk says, Perek Memhei Pasuk Tezayin, Vayitav Be'enei Pharaoh. Pharaoh was very, very happy, was pleasant in his eyes that the family of Yosef had arrived. And indeed we find that Pharaoh takes steps to try to encourage the brothers and Yaakov to settle permanently in Mitzrayim. Vakol Nishma, this is Perek Memhei, Pasuk Tezayin. V'akol Nishma Beis Paro. The news was heard in the house of Paro, Lemor, saying, Boach Yosef, the brothers of Yosef have come. V'yitav v'enei Paro v'enei Avodov. In the eyes of Paro and his servants, it was a good thing. V'yomer Paro Yosef. Paro says to Yosef, Emor alachecho zos asu. Tell your brothers to do the following. Tanuis be'irchem. Go and load up your animals, luchuvo arz Canaan, and come down to and go back to Canaan. Ukhuas avichem yespotechem uvo eloi. Then load up your father, your households, and come down to me. Come to Mitzrayim. Ve'etno lachem es tov eretz Mitzrayim ve'ichlu eschelev ha'aretz. I'll give you the best place, the choicest portion in Eretz Mitzrayim, and you'll eat off the fat of the land. What makes Paro so anxious to bring down Yosef's brothers and his father down to Mitzrayim? So one might have said it's a sort of hakaras hatov. I mean, after all, Yosef is responsible for having saved the entire Egyptian population. So this is the least, from Paro's perspective, that he can do. The Sfarno suggests an interesting, somewhat different interpretation as follows. It says the Sfarno Pesuk Tezayin, Shechashav shemikan voelech tia hashkochas Yosef al ha'oretz lo kahashkochas ger manhig. Paro thought that if Yosef's brothers and father would come down to Mitzrayim, no longer will Yosef simply be a ger manhig, a foreigner who's brought down, someone who was brought from the outside to lead over Mitzrayim. Aval kehashkochas ezrach, choshev losheves ba'aretz hu vizaro. But there'll be a different level on which Yosef takes care of Mitzrayim. He's now a full-fledged citizen because his family will be dwelling in Mitzrayim. V'lozer mashkiach b'cholev lehetiv la'aretz u'liyoshveha. And this will cause Yosef wholeheartedly, I guess even more wholeheartedly than he has been doing up to date, to take care of the land and all of those who live in it. In other words, to put it somewhat differently, I think what the Sfarno is saying is that Paro is thinking to himself, if Yosef brings his family down, as the expression has it nowadays, he has skin in the game, he has a personal stake. He's put down roots in Mitzrayim. We don't think that he's going to pick up in a couple of years and leave. And as someone who's put down roots, who's showing his commitment to the land of Egypt by bringing his elderly father and his brothers down to Mitzrayim, it's clear that he's invested in this land. And in a sense, Paro is acting out of self-interest, as the Sfarno, because ultimately if Yosef feels that he's invested in Mitzrayim, so he's going to give not just 100%, but 150% of his kolchos to Mitzrayim to make sure that it's going to prosper. So that explains as well why Paro does certain things which portray him as not just extending an offer to Yosef's brothers to come down to Mitzrayim, but actually being very, very anxious about bringing Yosef's brothers down to Mitzrayim. The pasuk goes on to say, in Yotes, Ve'atotsu Vesa, Zos Asu, now that you have been commanded, so do the following. Kechulochem Eretz Mitzrayim Agolos. Take carriages from Mitzrayim. letabchem v'lenasheichem, for your children, for your wives, unesasem esavichem uvasem, and carry your father down and come to Mitzrayim. Take these agolos, take these chariots, these carriages from Mitzrayim, bring them back up to Eretz Yisrael, and use them to bring your father down. We know there's a lot of discussion in Chazal about the significance of these agolos, these carriages that Paro told Yosef to bring up to get his father. Sometimes when we learn those Maimari Chazal that focus on the significance of the agolos, you know, that Yosef was learning the parasha of Egel Arufo with his father, last thing before he was taken away, we sometimes forget that the simple interpretation of the pasuk is not that Yosef commissioned the agolos, but it was Paro that commissioned the agolos. He was the one who said, send these wagons, send these carriages to go fetch your father. Why is Paro going that extra mile to send the carriages to fetch Yaakov and to fetch his entire household? So the Sfaro has the following insight. Ki kishiyira ho agolos muchonos shluchos me'itonu, when Yaakov sees that not only have we sent him a message, please feel free to come down to Mitzrayim, but rather we've sent a cab, there's a limo waiting outside, so to speak, ready to take you and the entire family down to Mitzrayim, lo yimtza kol kach mokom lidchos ulimo'ein. It's going to be harder for Yaakov to refuse to come down to Mitzrayim when he sees that the carriage is literally waiting outdoors, ready for him just to step in and bring him down to Mitzrayim. So the agolos from Paro are actually a ploy to try to bring Yaakov down. Why is it so important to bring Yaakov down? Why does Paro care whether Yaakov decides to go down to Mitzrayim or not? So again, it goes back to the insight that the Sfarno has already provided to us. If Yaakov and the rest of his family come down to Mitzrayim, ultimately, Paro believes that's going to benefit Mitzrayim, because Yosef will feel even more invested in the future of Mitzrayim if his entire family is living down there. V'chein hora achar kach be'omro. And that, indeed, the plan of Paro worked, says the Sfarno. As the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayarhes ho'agolos asher sholach Yosef lase so." When does Yaakov decide that he's going to go down to Mitzrayim? Vayarhes ho'agolos, when he sees the carriages. So again, we know the famous Maimer Chazal, which focuses on the question: why is it that seeing the carriages convinces Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim? Why that of all things? Right, so again, Chazal fill in by saying that it was the parasha of Egla Arufa that Yosef was hinting at. Okay, fine. The Sfarno is saying, al derech hapshat, on a simple level, vayaris ha'agolos, once Yaakov saw, so to speak, the limo waiting outside, ready to take him, so he felt a little bit more pressured, a little bit more compelled to actually make that trip down to Mitzrayim, whereas had the agolos, had the carriages not been there, the implication of the Sfarno is that maybe Yaakov would have gotten a nice invitation from Paro, and he would have said, very nice, I really appreciate it, but I'm staying here. In fact, the Sfarno goes on to say, Yaakov was not that excited about going down to Mitzrayim. Paro, although Paro at that point didn't actually know Yaakov, but Paro was right to intuit that it would be very difficult to convince Yaakov to come down to Mitzrayim, that he would have to pull out all the stops in order to get Yaakov Avinu to come down to Mitzrayim. And the Sfarno points this out in a usage that the Pasuk has at the very end of Perek Memhei, Pasuk Chof Ches. It says, Vayomer Yisrael, Rav, Od Yosef Beni Choy, an incredible thing, my son Yosef is still alive. Let me go and see him before I die. Says the Sfarno, listen to what Yaakov doesn't say. Yaakov doesn't say, let me go down to Mitzrayim and stay there. But rather Yaakov says, let me go and see Yosef before I die. And comments the Sfarno, lo sha'agur sham kidvarov. Yaakov's original intention was not to go to Mitzrayim to stay there. He was going to pay a state visit to see his son, whom he hadn't seen for the past 22 years. he would satisfy Elchav Eretu B'Terem Amos, I'll go and see him before I die. And then his intent was to come back to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, after all, Eretz Yisrael was the land that was promised to him, that was promised to his father, to his grandfather before him. Why on earth would Yaakov Avinu want to leave Eretz Yisrael? That was part of the last thing from his mind. So it's very nice that Paro sent a limo. I'll get in the limo. I'll go down. I'll spend some time with Yosef. Maybe we'll chazer over Egel Arufa. It's been 22 years. We maybe don't remember all the Rishonim as well. And then after we learn over the sugya, I'll get back in the limo. We'll go back to Eretz Yisrael. That was his original intent. And that intent only really changes, according to the Svarno, in the beginning of Perek Mem Vav. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Mem Vav, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo v'yovo be'er ha-shova. Yisrael traveled with everything that he had. He came to Be'er Sheva. Vayizbach zvachim le'lokei oviv Yitzchak. And he brought karbonos to the God of his father Yitzchak. So we know again, Rashi quoting from Chazal, is bothered by the question, why is he bringing karbonos specifically to the God of his father Yitzchak? Why not the God of his grandfather Avram? Why mention Yitzchak specifically? So Rashi, again bringing from Chazal, says, we see from here that the mitzvah of kibud av that a person has vis-a-vis his father is greater than the mitzvah of kibud that he has vis-a-vis his grandfather. Again, why that idea should be expressed specifically here is a longer discussion, but you know that's the point that Rashi, quoting from Chazal, brings out from the fact that the Pasuk speaks of Yaakov bringing karbonos to the God of his father Yitzchak. But the Svarno goes in a different direction and again ties this to the fact that, as the Svarno understands it, Yaakov isn't really all that anxious to leave Eretz Yisrael at this point. Comments the Svarno, Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak, he brought karbonos to the God of his father Yitzchak. Sha'amar li Yitzchak al tered Mitzrayim. Yitzchak was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't go down to Mitzrayim. So basically, Yaakov is now turning to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not invoking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu did go down to Mitzrayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly told his father, Yitzchak, don't go down to Mitzrayim. So now Yaakov is saying, you know, I'm not anxious to go to Mitzrayim. My intent is just to go briefly and then come back. But I want guidance from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in how you interacted with Yitzchak. I'd like to be told, it sounds like the Svarno is saying, I'd like to be told, you're right, in not planning on going for a long period of time, just planning on visiting and coming back. But then, the Psukim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Yaakov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares with Yaakov a message very, very different than what Yaakov thought he was going to hear, at least according to the Svarno. Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael b'mayel salaylo, vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, vayomer hineni. Hashem spoke to him, he said, Yaakov, Yaakov, vayomer, onochi hokel Elokei Ovicha. I am the God who is the God of your father. Again, noteworthy, not the God of your grandfather. I'm the God of your father. Altira merido Mitzrayimo. Don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim, ki legoi gadol asimcha sham. I'm going to make you into a great nation there. And here the Svarno brings out a number of points, both in terms of the story itself, and also a very, very important point that resonates in later Jewish history. In Pasuk Gimel, the Svarno writes as follows, Onochi okel elokei avicha, I am the God of your father, ani hu shomati lo avicha al teirid Mitzrayim. I am indeed, you are correct, I am the God who told your father Yitzchak, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Anihu sha'omer elecho, al tiro meredo Mitzrayim ato. But that very same God who told your father, don't go down to Mitzrayim under any circumstances, realize that I'm telling you that the mandate that you have is different than the mandate that your father had. You should go down to Mitzrayim. Why is that? I will make you into a great nation there. Now, we usually understand that what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Yaakov Avinu at this point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reassuring Yaakov. Don't worry, despite the fact that you are in Mitzrayim, you will still become a great nation, even though you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, and even though on the surface You're turning your back on all of the promises that were made to yourself and to your father and to your grandfather before you. The Sforno, an interesting twist, understands that it's Davka, you're going down to Mitzrayim, that will make you into a great nation. He writes as follows, Ki omnam im hayu bonecha yoshvim po, if you were to stay here in Eretz Yisrael, your children, hayu mischatnim begoye ha'aretz u'misorvim imoyim, your children, if not your children, then your grandchildren, would intermarry. They would naturally get lost and assimilated among the nations of Eretz Yisrael. Avo b'mitzrayim lo yikrezeh. But I can tell you that won't happen in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu. Why? And he quotes the pasuk from last week's parsha. Ki lo yuchlun ha-mitzrim lecha leso ivrim lechem. Because the Mitzrim are anti-Semites. As we learned last week's parsha, the Mitzrim won't even sit down to share a meal with the Ivrim, with the Hebrews, with the Jews. You know, that's even Yosef had to sit apart. Yosef, who had reached the pinnacle of power in Mitzrayim, didn't sit down with, quote-unquote, his fellow Egyptians, because there was still a certain amount of animosity or social distance between the Egyptians and foreigners, particularly the Jews. Uvochein yihiyu legoy nivdol. And therefore, because there's this, call it anti-Semitism, call it standoffishness, whatever you want to call it exactly, because there isn't this willingness to totally assimilate on the part of the greater population, so Klal Yisrael will remain distinct in Mitzrayim. Ka'omram zichrono livracha, vahisham legoy, milamed shahayu yisrael mitzuyonim sham. As the Pasuk says, and we quote this in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were a goy, they were a separate nation, they were mitzuyonim, they were distinct, they stood off from the rest of the Mitzrim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yaakov Avinu, right now in history, this is the best thing that can happen to Klal Yisrael. If you stay here in Eretz Yisrael, you will be assimilated. If you go down to Mitzrayim, you will be separate as a nation. The Egyptians won't allow you to integrate with them, to become part of their nation. And that is the way that you will be built up as a nation, that Klal Yisrael will be built up. It's ultimately in the best interests of Yaakov Avinu and the development of Klal Yisrael to go down to Mitzrayim now. What was true for Yitzchak was true for Yitzchak, but what's true for you and Yaakov now, every generation has its own mandate, every generation has its own values, every generation has the mahalach, has the approach which is correct for that generation. For this generation, the best thing is that you should go down to Mitzrayim, and that way you'll develop as a separate nation, untainted by coming into contact with anyone else. If you stay in Eretz Yisrael, you're certainly going to assimilate. Very, very. Right. So we saw earlier the Sforno took the position that in theory, why did the Shibud Mitzrayim come about? Right. Why were the Jews subjugated in Egypt? So the Sforno, unlike other Rishonim, unlike a certain Mamori Chazal that, you know, blamed the Jews for, or blame earlier Avraham Avinu and the like, you know, for certain mistakes or sins that, you know, the punishment had to be the Shibud Mitzrayim. The Sforno implies that in a vacuum, the Shibud Mitzrayim didn't necessarily have to happen. The Shibud Mitzrayim came about because the Jews sinned. While they were in Mitzrayim, as the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, they attached themselves to Avodah Zarah. Right, that's the Pasuk says, Mishchu kulochem, mishchu atzmichem in Avodah Zarah. They were attached to Avodah Zarah when they were in Mitzrayim. And that brought about the Shibud, the subjugation in Mitzrayim as a punishment. In theory, you know, all of that didn't necessarily have to happen. So you'll say, so how will the Bris Ben Habesarim, you know, work in with this, you know, with this thing? Maybe the Bris Ben Habesarim could have been fulfilled in a different kind of way. Remember, the Bris Ben Habesarim doesn't, you know, specify that it had to be Mitzrayim. You know, that would be the place that they would go and they would find themselves. So maybe that would have been carried out in some other way. Maybe that's also true. In other words, maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying there's more than one reason to go down to Mitzrayim, but you should realize you know, rather than thinking that this is something detrimental, it's actually something beneficial. Well, it's interesting. So I think you can distinguish between two things. And I think the Sfarno implicitly is distinguishing between the two of them. There's assimilation of non-Jewish ideas in Mitzrayim, but there's still a distinctiveness that the Jewish people maintains. Meaning, they may have lost their religion, but they maintained themselves as a separate culture, as a separate nation. They maintained their nationhood in Mitzrayim. And that's borne through the famous Maimer Chazal, again, the different versions of the Maimer Chazal, but in other words, they were several things, three things, two things, four things, five things, you know, there were different things that Klal Yisrael kept while they were in Mitzrayim, and they're all functions of their national identity, not really functions of their religious identity. They kept speaking Hebrew, they kept a distinctive dress, they kept the distinctive names. You know, none of these things per se are religious. And it's actually interesting, you know, Rav Moshe Zatzal has a tshuva where he writes that he's not sure that after Matan Torah, that these things are quite as important. Meaning, in a nation that had not yet received the Torah, so it was very important to maintain a distinctive national character. We have only Jewish names, and we only speak Hebrew, and we only wear distinctive Jewish clothing. But once we have the Torah, what makes us a Jewish nation is we keep Torah mitzvahs, you know? So you can keep Torah mitzvahs and still have a non-Jewish name, and you can, you know, keep Torah mitzvahs and speak a different language and still wear, you know, clothing that fits in with everybody else. The importance of those things was davka because, you know, they didn't have Torah mitzvahs at that point. In other words, they may have assimilated religiously, but culturally, and, you know, from this perspective of Jewish nationhood, they did maintain their distinctiveness. Masha Ein Kein, had they stayed in Eretz Yisrael, the Sfarno is saying, they would have intermarried, they would have lost everything. You know, it sounds like the Egyptians did not really intermarry with the Jews, right? And they wouldn't even eat with the Jews, you know, so if they wouldn't even eat with the Jews, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so, you know, would they not have intermarried with the Jews in any kind of way? So this is ultimately for your benefit, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yaakov Avinu, and it seems like it's only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells that to Yaakov, does Yaakov change his initial plan. His initial plan in going down to Mitzrayim was just to visit, I'll say hi to Yosef, and then I'll come back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically convinces him, no, the plan at this point is for everybody to settle in Mitzrayim, and that will be the best thing for the Jewish nation going forward. Right. So it's interesting. I'm not sure what the original plan was according to the Sforno. You're right. I mean, it's a lot to bring for a visit, you know. But it's interesting. The way the Pasuk says it is Elcha v'erenu b'terem amos. In other words, it's all in the first person singular. Not Nelcha v'erenu, right? But Elcha v'erenu. Maybe Yaakov figured like this. I understand that my sons are going to move down to Mitzrayim. I'm resigned to that fact. But I myself, my plan is to go and just come back afterwards. You know, maybe this thought of just going temporarily was something that he was thinking about as opposed to something that he thought the family was thinking about. Again, you're right, it's hard to imagine that the family as a whole was just planning a brief visit, you know, when they brought, 10 duffel bags down, you know, filled with all of their stuff. It's true, sometimes kids go to camp and they bring 10 duffel bags and you wonder why you know, how long you're going for. But in this particular case, yeah, it sounds like they were planning on settling, but he wasn't convinced that he was going to settle. He thought that he was going to go back. It's interesting in Pasuk Beis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Yisrael, but he calls him Yaakov. Vayomer Elokim liYisrael b'maros halayla, Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. What's the usage of Yisrael, Yaakov? So the Sfarno writes, Masha Omelo Ato, Hoyo Bishvil Heyosa Yisrael, She had star Chubonov Lehistorir Alamis Komimim. As much as it was ultimately in the best interest of Klal Yisrael to come down to Mitzrayim at this particular point, as the Sfarno explained, Klal Yisrael was also going to have to utilize the kochos, the strengths associated with the name Yisrael. Remember, Yisrael is Kisorisa Im Elokim V'im Anoshim. You fought, you were victorious, because Klal Yisrael is going to have to stand up against the Miskomimim, those who would rise and try to beat down the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to be oppressed in Mitzrayim, both physically and spiritually, and they need the koach of Yisrael, of someone who's willing to stand up to the to those who would fight against the Jewish people in order to be able to survive the period of time that they're going to be there. Okay, Rabbi Hanan ben Akasha Omer, Rots.